Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV podcast. It is here. It's been a while, hasn't it? It's been ages since we've done one of these, mate. I'm joined by Ross Chanley, of course, by Errol and by Sam Walker from home. Gents, thank you very much for joining me. We have got a kick-off question. In fact, we've got two kick-off questions to get us started. A good friend of the show, Harshal, has asked, what's something you picked up during the pandemic that you can't be arsed with doing once we get back to normal, Ross Chanley?
People.
Wow. Wow.
I'd say what I did start, I think you did this as well, was Twitch. Yeah. I was all about that, but then I had to keep moving my PlayStation from downstairs to upstairs and just couldn't be arsed anymore. I did enjoy
but
it.
You've stopped it already, haven't you?
I haven't started anything else.
Nothing.
No. Nothing's changed.
Let's dig a little bit deeper on the changed. People thing though, Ross.
Yeah.
Because like,
honestly, it doesn't matter when this fucking 21st of June is, it'll be the same for me. I'm fine. I've been fine. I will be fine.
Jeez. Sam, what do you make of that, first of all? And
I thought we were all mates, Ross, do you know what I mean? He talks a good game, doesn't he?
I need to get paid to do this.
Jesus.
For me, the obvious one is the masks. We were just talking about it. But to try and do something a little bit more left field, it's people moaning. And it's the same people moaning about one thing. I'm not going to go into it. But then they'll moan about the opposite thing. A piece of news comes out, oh, we're all going to be free on the 21st of June. The 21st of June? Are you joking? That's too soon. And then a month in, the 21st of June's too far away. It's like, this has just created like this like vortex of people who just, nothing we can ever do or have in our vision, they can be happy. Like, we need a vaccine. I'm not taking a vaccine. It's like, we've just created this like bizarre sea of people who just don't know what they want. And they're just moaning all over social media. So yeah, I can't wait till we're out of it. And those people can only moan about things that I don't care about anymore. And then
okay, that's a really good one, actually, Errol. What would you do, mate?
Well, I was torn between two and one that I'm just never really going to be able to give up. I just think lockdown heightened how much I was doing it at the time, which led me to the situation I'm in now, evidently having a kid.
So are you giving up sex? Is that what you're doing here, Errol?
It was close, and then I realised how stupid a statement I was going to make online. The sex can stay for a couple more years. I haven't passed it yet. But no, do you know what? I started doing them in like 30-day challenges. My mate, he's a PT. He had me eating like 4 eggs for breakfast every day and shit. And do you know what? I did it for about 45 days consecutively straight. And then after that, I was like, fuck that off. I was like, I'll wait till the gyms get open. And I haven't even been back to a gym yet. But I have been playing footy. So fitness is still there. Just gym and home workouts can get binned off. And I'm fucking sick to the death of them.
Mine's like Zoom. Like, if I don't ever do another video chat in my life, that will be far too soon, because I just find it, like, no offence, but I just find it dead difficult. Like, it's just not the same as being in the room with someone and bouncing off someone and having a laugh with them, is it? It's just a weird thing that just needs to get in the bin, if you'd ask me, so I hate that. Thank you for the question, Harshal. Got one from JerseyPaul90 on Twitter as well. I'm going to go to you first on this one, Errol. You have to fight Mike Tyson in his prime or get kicked in the balls every day for a year. What are you doing?
Alright, so if any of you seen the Logan and Floyd Mayweather fight the other day, they made money off the back of that. Now we're all in YouTube. Surely our price has got to have risen. Our stock's got to be a little bit higher to be fighting Mike Tyson. So I'm kind of going with that logic. And in my mind, I'm like, do you know what? 8 rounds with Mike Tyson, how's that cardio doing? After the last couple of weeks of footy, I reckon I'd last about 3 or 4 just dodging him. And then he lands on haymaker. And then that's it. It's curtains. But right. when away
can I just say, in about it's in his prime, by the way, mate.
I'm aware of that, but I'm still in mine to an extent. So, you know, I'll dodge, duck and dive, rope a dope. And then at the end of it all, when I wake up out of that coma in 3 weeks, I check my online banking, see like 50 million there from the pay-per-view tickets. And I'm like, it was all worth it. So it's better than getting kicked in the balls every day. But then again, the deed's been done now, so I kind of don't need them anymore either.
Sam, what are you doing, mate? Are you taking on Iron Mike Tyson?
Well, I am, but Floyd over there, you know, I'm going to start calling you Floyd now, Errol. You are no longer Errol, you're Floyd. Or Oscar. Jesus Christ, 3 or 4 rounds in this prime, lad. Whatever you're having for them breakfast, I want them as well. I'm taking the fight, but as soon as Mike Tyson walks towards me and throws half a jab at me in the deck and counting myself out, there's nothing in the rules that says I've got to go the full 12 or 8 or whatever.
the smart money's on Sam Walker's plan here, isn't it? He's absolutely nailed it.
That's all well and good, but what use is that money if he's eating through a fucking straw? Like, it's fucking pointless. You might
be able to afford Huel, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Strawberry flavour. I kicked me in the balls. I've got no use for him anymore anyway, so I'm fucking deal done. Rather than being punched in this beautiful fucking face.
Yeah, all right. I don't know what... I'm taking Sam's answer all day, but yeah. Just to pick a different one. Like, I would like to try and think that I could run away from Mike Tyson for 3 minutes over and over and over again, but I also know that after these last few lockdowns and the last few years of being a dad, I am not in, let's say, fighting shape, and I would probably make myself a sitting duck at the end of the first round, and I would literally just be running away from him, not even like on toes. I'd be running in a circle full as fast as I can, but I'd completely die, and then he'd knock me out and I'd die, and I don't like dying, I don't think, so I'm going to go with the...
Well, think of all the money that you'd leave to Cat and the kids.
I don't care. I don't care. I'd be dead. I don't, like, what would that matter?
Well, not to you, but, you know, quid's in for them.
I'm going to die anyway.
Yeah, but I don't want to be now, soon. Now you die and they get money.
No, I'm not having it.
Okay. Yeah, but you got with it. They're going to have to put up with me forever. Hey, Jack, a blaze of glory just going out in the ring with Mike Tyson.
It's hardly a blaze of glory trying to run away from someone and them still killing you. Is it? Let's be honest.
I reckon you'd try it, and Chris. You'd go.
I'm the pink whisperer, man.
He's the single fastest videos on.
And then you'd like unleash the Super Saiyan Tyson we've never seen before. Who's this kid hitting me, bro? And then he'd just ruin you.
If you said to him, "You're the pink whisperer," I think you'd have a chance of hitting him because he'd be pissing himself laughing at you.
Yeah, it's true. I was in the ring with Leon McKenzie a few years ago, and his dad saying, "Doesn't Leon, after playing for Norwich and Coventry and everything, became a professional boxer, didn't he?" Like, so I did 3 minutes in the ring with him, and I survived. And I actually. He took it easy on me, but I lasted the 3 minutes, whereas there was another lad who was with us who got KO'd with a kidney punch. And I've never, ever, like, because I've never been to a boxing match or anything. You've been, Sam, you'll know this stuff. Like, the noise that a proper punch in there makes, and he went... And then you could just hear the air coming out of him. And then he was just on the floor for about 10 minutes in the middle of the ring. I think we had to drag him out under the bottom rope in the end. Like, so there's no way I'm trying to get in the ring with Mike Tyson.
Do you think all four of us in the ring would last any longer? Do you reckon we'd do any better if there was four of us?
Oh, no, you'd force him to go nasty and start biting and shit, yeah. Wouldn't you? You don't want a nasty Mike Tyson. Anyway, that was a great question, Paul. Thank you so much for that one. We're going to get into the Liverpool stuff now, but before we do, Ross, I've got a little present for you, and I've not told you, and I'm so happy that you're wearing that chair because it makes it absolutely brilliant. So today's show is sponsored by Six Sock, right? And I am not even messing. You're absolutely going to love these. So get them open, have a little look at them. You can keep them, mate, yeah? For you. I've got my own over here. The better ones.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Ah, oh, fucking hell. This is the first time I've worn this. Ever. I've fucking had it for about 6 weeks. And we're matching.
That's amazing.
This six sock, there's a link in the description, right? These are the Jürgen Norbert Klopp socks. So if you ever just need a little Jürgen in your life, basically.
Oh, rare.
They're top quality. They're proper knitted cotton and stuff.
They are sick,
well.
Aren't they?
They are, they are, mate. They're absolutely brilliant. So I've got three pairs, a black, a yellow, and a red. You've got three. You've got the 89 home and away kit and the away. What's that one?
Home 89, away 89, away 82.
The 82 are my favourite.
Yeah.
These are just class. Like, so they're properly cotton socks and all that type of stuff. But the best thing about them, and this is why we sort of wanted to partner up with Six Sock and stuff, is for every pair that they actually sell, they donate a pair to homeless charities and stuff as well, cool. Which is boss, isn't it? Like, so link in the description. They're absolutely superb. They really are. They're all premium quality socks made in Europe and all that type of stuff as well. One pair bought, one pair donated, which is absolutely brilliant. And you can actually like customize your boxes. So if you wanted a Jürgen Norbert with a Liverpool away 82 and all that type of stuff, you can do that. Highly recommended. I will be wearing them the next time I wear trousers because I'll look a little bit insane in shorts and these.
I don't know, you know, good little idea for Father's Day as well.
Father's Day.
I might.
It's coming up. When is it?
Sunday. 20th of June. Yeah, week on Sunday.
Get them ordered now. Get them for your dad.
I might give these to me dad. Thanks.
That's a great shout, that.
It's a gift for you.
I know, and I thank you.
You cheapskate bastard! You're going to give your dad something that he may know that you got for free.
Happy Father's Day, dad. Got you these for the Six Sock.
Yeah, these are going to my dad as well. Are they? Can we tape these up?
What?
No, I'm wearing them. Oh, I'm having them. They're bosh.
Really, I'll call them.
Massive thank you to Sixsock as well for sending us these.
You didn't get me these?
What?
You didn't get me them?
Shut up, Ross. give them to somebody else for free, you know what I mean? They are absolutely brilliant. Get the Jürgen Norbert Klopp ones, because who doesn't want a Jürgen Norbert Klopp on their ankles? It might be the best your ankles have ever looked. Do it. Do it now. Link in the description. Right, the football. The Euro starts this week. That's no, kidding, of course. Is anyone actually looking forward to the Euros? Errol, are you?
Not, because it's a little bit of fussy to watch, you know what I mean? And you're like your weekends and stuff like that, and you might get a few in the afternoons. But as long as all of our players don't come back with injuries, I'm happy. Do you know what I mean? I don't really care who wins. I'm not overly invested. Jamaica aren't in it.
Is anyone rooting for anyone that's not England?
Yeah.
Who?
Scotland.
Robbo.
Nah.
And I'm half Scottish, so. And I've not been in the tournament for 23 years since, what? It would be France 98. So I have not had a lot of time to fucking celebrate Scotland being in tournaments. And it gets to watch some footy without fucking working. So I'm quite looking forward to that. I hate international football, but I like the tournaments. I can get behind tournaments. I think they're exciting.
Are you off next week?
One after, I think.
Yeah. Scotland are playing while you're in work, I'm just saying, like. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. On
Tuesday. But I can have that on.
No,
fucking,
you can't.
I have to tweet. I have to tweet about it.
If he's back, you can watch it.
I just watch it on the side.
Scotland's a good shout, though. You watched the friendly the other day. You thought they were.
Yeah, honestly, I've not watched international friendlies for years and years, and I haven't watched Scotland because I thought it's been fucking pointless. But I was actually really impressed, and I think the form has been pretty good as well. So they've got a good squad. Obviously, Andy Rowe is the captain. Steve Clarke's doing a good job. I don't think there's any expectation on them, which I think, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it's good for some teams. But, you know, they're in a group with England, which I think will be interesting. So
that game's absolutely massive, isn't it? I mean, Sam, you'll remember 1996 and playing them in that, and obviously in England as well. I mean, that was massive, like.
I think as well, back then they had a team that we expected a bit more from as well, didn't we? So I think this time, the good thing in Scotland's favour is that there's no pressure on them. Is they're just like almost happy to be there. I mean, the players won't feel like that, but I think the fans, the country behind them are just like made up to be in the tournament. So I think from a Scotland perspective, there's no pressure on them. It's just like, let's go and play and see what happens in this tournament, and especially against England. I think for England, they're under a bit of pressure. I think they're going to be up against it in these group stages. Three teams that could all turn up on the day and cause them problems. So, yeah. I would like one of our players to do well. Like, you know, like, remember when, like, Lucas or Mascherano, one of them, won the Olympics? Like, who cares? But it's nice, isn't it, if one of the lads come back to squad and, you know, have that boost of confidence. So if Jota wins it with Portugal, great. If Henderson, it'd be quite funny, actually, wouldn't it, if Harry Kane gets injured and Henderson ends up lifting the Euros, it pissed so many people off that, like.
There's no way Kane lets him.
No, full kit. Yeah, he'd have to like be in isolation, wouldn't he, or something, to not to. But yeah, that's kind of where I am at with it.
What do you reckon of the like we've got seven players? Is it, I think there now? Thiago, Hendo, Shaqiri, Wilson and Nico Williams as well for Wales. Robbo and Jota, I think, is the final person, isn't it? Apart from, I think everybody probably thinks Portugal could do well if they get out the group, because obviously they won it last time around. Do you reckon, which one of those Liverpool players, Sam, do you reckon's got the best chance?
I actually think Henderson. I actually think England have got a great chance. I think they're a good young team. They've got a nice blend of experience with the likes of Henderson. You know, you'd say Kane's quite an experienced player, and Maguire being in the squad's an experienced player now. And the young players who just don't care, you know, how good's Jack Grealish? You know, Foden's a quality player, Mount, they're all flying. There's no reason why England can't go out there. Well, there is. His name's Gareth Southgate. But you know, if the players sort of take it on themselves, I think, you know, I'm not going to support England, but I'll sort of, you know, I will in a way. Like, I would like them to do well to an extent, you know, but I'm not a big, if they get beat, I'm not arsed one bit. But I think England followed by Jota to Portugal. I think Spain haven't got enough anymore.
Wow, that's interesting. Errol, what do you make of England then and their chances?
England chances, do you know what? I'm a bit like Sam, to be honest with you. I think there's a blend of a few good young players. One thing that worries me more than anything else is that midfield, though. It doesn't see, apart from Jordan Henderson, and he's probably, let's be honest, he's probably not at his peak of his powers at the minute. There's not that much experience in there. And I think that's a big thing in terms of where matches are won and lost, especially internationals, controlling the midfield battle and dictating the play of games. Because let's face it, when we come up against all these minnows in qualifiers or in friendlies, we just have it all our own way. Do you know what I mean? And we can kind of play the game we'd like to play. Whereas for England, when you're playing in competitions at international level, it's about how we control not having that ball and being compact and making sure that when we do get the chance to turn the ball around, it's getting it to those front lads that are dangerous, that can do some damage, and being clinical in that respect. And I think that starts from your midfield. Do you know what I mean? I think defensively, there's quite a few good defenders in there. But midfield-wise, I think we're probably lacking in that experience. And that's probably the only area that I'd say is probably our weakness at the moment in that England squad, which is a bit of a common issue
that as well, isn't it? Because I think, what, did he beat Panama, like, 5-0 or 7-0, and then like the media's like, excuse me, they're going to fucking win it. And then in that tournament, they play Belgium and Croatia, and they fucking lost those games. So, like, Errol's right, you know, it's all well and good beating the arse end of Europe in qualifiers and everyone getting up to the hype. As soon as you come against anyone difficult, which they're both very good sides, by the way, still, and probably favourites in Belgium, I'd say, to go and win a tournament, they need that experience. So I think, you know, they've got, you know, Mason Mount's just won a fucking European Cup, you know, so he's like, I think he's.
The enthusiasm and the confidence.
Yeah, it's all going to be there. I think they've got a good squad. They've got the recipe to win it, but also they've got the recipe for it to be a fucking disaster, like it is every tournament.
Yeah, for me, the experience, like Errol and what Sam was saying, that's the issue for me. I mean, obviously Croatia, Harry Maguire is going to be out, isn't he? So, but he'll be around the rest of the tournament and whatever. If you can get Harry Maguire back in, and then you can have Henderson playing in front of him, and then you've got Kane, you've got a spine. And I think to win an international tournament or any tournament or league, you need a great spine. And it's a good spine. Like Harry Maguire, we laugh and all that type of stuff. He's a good centre-back. He's not a great centre-back, but he's a good centre-back. He's good enough for England and what they need. I think personally, and this is probably where a lot of people would disagree with me, I'd probably go Kyle Walker at right-back if we play a back four. Yeah. And I'd probably go Reece James at right wing back with Kyle Walker as one of the centre halves if we play a back three. Because I do feel like Kyle Walker gives us that experience, 31 years old, won everything bar the European Cup. couldn't resist that one. You know what I mean? But that experience is what's needed, because you need the young lads, especially the skill positions. I'd have Sancho on that right wing and I'd have Foden on the left, and I'd play a sort of pseudo 4-3-3 with probably Declan Rice, Henderson in an 8-6 sort of role, and then a Mount or a Grealish in an 8-10 role, something like that, Sancho and Foden flanking. And that gives, for me, that gives the experience platform for the young lads to go out there and do something special, because that's what win games in international tournaments. It's those special moments.
And to take pressure off those young players and how they deal with, you know, if there's a setback in a game or things aren't going right, but you've got Jordan Henderson and, you know, Harry Maguire especially, who've been there before, you know, forget how many times Man United been behind in games and come back. I think it was 10 or 11 in the end of the season. You need those, but in bigger tournaments. So all this media hype we're talking about now, those the kids that are going out, and those are the famous, you can't win anything with kids, but you clearly can. If things start to go wrong for England, how do those young lads deal with it? Because they need those people that you're talking about around saying, listen, fucking let's go again, which is why I think Henderson's there at the minute.
Yeah, I think the interesting one in it, and it's probably a bit of a conversation, before we do that, Ashley Frith has sent a £5 super chat. Thank you so much, Ashley. Just wanted to say that Hendo 10 years, first episode was world class. Keep going with the great work. You'll never walk alone. Thank you so much for that, Ashley. We're going to show you a little bit of the first episode, which is available now on the redmentive.com. We'll show that a little bit later on in the show. But going back to the England chat then, Sam, who's your front three if you're playing a front three?
Yeah, so I like the 4-3-3 idea. Just to set it off, though, are we going to talk about the midfield, or are you just talking about the front three?
No, yeah, whatever you want. I think the midfield tells us why you're doing your front three.
Yeah. So Henderson and Rice all day. I agree with you about the spine. Idiots on Twitter have been arguing with me all week. Bellingham needs to be playing. Wonderful talent, but he's a child. You need that spine of experience. It's like you learn that as you get older as a person.
He's probably older than the people arguing with you on Twitter, to be fair.
Probably, yeah. So you've got Rice and Henderson. I would play Mason Mount in the 10 because I just feel like he's been so good this season. And I would personally play Grealish on the left, Foden on the right, and Kane up front. That's my personal one. I just think Foden peaked at the right time, like just before the end of the season, so he's still flying. Grealish is just ridiculous. Oh, what a player he is. I'm such a fan of Jack Grealish, honestly.
Really? I don't get the Grealish hype. I don't know if I just don't watch enough of him. Look at everyone's faces. Kill me in the comments if you want. I just don't get the Grealish hype. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry.
The thing is, I think he changes the game. Like he picks the ball up and he drives and he puts the other team under so much pressure that spaces start opening up around him. But why I think England need him in the side, and I said Mount or Grealish, because whoever can do that 8-10 role better. Why I think Grealish should be in the side is because he wins free kicks. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got to the semi-final of the World Cup last time around, is set pieces and stuff like that. And that's where, like, who's the set piece taker? That's the other thing for England.
Because
Mo Prowse probably isn't
going to start. If Trippier plays, he does like Trippier as well. So if he starts, I think he'll take them.
He picked Ben White over Ward-Prowse. Ward-Prowse isn't even going.
Oh, he's not even going.
He's not even going.
Yeah. Madness.
We haven't got a specialist free kick taker.
That's because of Maguire, that though, isn't it? He's took Ben White because he's worried about Maguire. So if Maguire's not showing any sign of improvement, he might well say to Maguire, "You're not going to make it. So take Ward-Prowse instead."
Who's your front three then, Errol?
My front three, obviously Kane's just got to be up top, and he's got to be in there. He's the captain, so that's a no-brainer. Either side of him, I'd probably go Foden on the left, maybe. I don't know if I'd play Sancho. Probably Foden on the left, and probably, to be fair, if it was any, it'd probably either be Sancho or Rashford, but I don't think Rashford's been great in terms of form lately, and he's not that good on the right either. I think even most Man U fans will say he's probably better from the left, so it's tight, but I don't know if Jadon Sancho would start every single game on that right either, so I'd risk it, do you know what I mean? I'd go in with that. I think that's our strongest one, Foden left, Kane in the middle, and Sancho in terms of obviously that threat. But you just have to see how you get on after a couple of games with them, really, but you've got the options to mix up that three, I think.
The mad one here is that no one's mentioned Sterling.
Sterling, yeah.
In it, like, you know...
His form's been terrible, though, hasn't it?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, he probably scored as many goals as Foden this year, though. Yeah. Like, it was there or thereabouts. You know, it's the... Like Sam said, Foden peaked at the right time and Sterling kind of sort of eased off towards the back end of the season. For me, the reason Sterling doesn't get in there and he changes the game, Sterling, whether he's scoring goals or not, he puts the fear of God into defenders because of his speed. He misses too many chances, I think, for international football. Mm. And I know, I think it's massively overhyped how many chances he misses compared to other people. Like we've seen this season, Bobby Firmino, Sadio Mane, they've all missed tons of chances. But I just feel like when you get to an international tournament, you can't miss those chances because you're only going to get one or two a game. And that's the difference for me, is that like you need, Kane's got to be in there because he takes those chances all the time, doesn't he?
It's the beauty of having a squad though, isn't it? I think, you know, we're saying these squads, you're not going to start the same squad every every game, and it depends who you're coming up against as well. Like, I wasn't too sure about having Rice and Henderson, to be honest. That's not something to consider, because do you go with two more attacking midfielders and having one sitting deeper? But I suppose it's who you play. You know, do you play that against Croatia, who are going to dominate the ball and take control of midfield, as you were saying before? Whereas against Scotland, it's like, you know, without being arrogant, you know, I think you can afford to have, you know, maybe Mount and Grealish, you know, both in further forward.
So what, behind, ahead of Hendo?
No, you'd have Hendo. Yeah, I've had them ahead of, to have Hendo and Mount and fucking someone else. I don't know who's in the fucking midfield, I don't know what to tell you. But you, can, you don't have to have, like...
That's the problem, is that there's not many midfielders, is there? There's Bellingham, no. There's Mount, there's Henderson, there's Declan Rice.
Phillips,
yeah. Calvin Phillips from Leeds. That's about it. And obviously you could maybe use Foden there if you wanted to. He's done that job in the past before, but... That's the makeup of the squad's funny. I think the way Southgate's got it weighted. I mean, the fact that he had four right backs was bananas, quite frankly. But it said to me that I think he is considering this sort of three at the back more.
Or Trent in midfield. At the time when he picked four.
Maybe, yeah. That seems a bit of a mad one, because he's never played there either, you know, for Liverpool anyway. That's quite interesting then. Let's talk about some Liverpool stuff then now. But before we do, let's actually talk about the Henderson documentary. It was mentioned by Ashley Frith before in the Super Chat. We've got a little sneak peek for you now. So we're just going to play that, and I'll tell you a little bit afterwards.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Finally, yes, tomorrow, 12 p.m. YouTube. Set that date in your diary. Make sure you watch it. I mean, I watched it twice yesterday, and I was telling the lads before, I fucking loved it. And I've seen a snippet here of an interview and a snippet there, but I kind of wanted to wait for the full effect. You got to watch it yesterday as well.
It's fucking outstanding. Amazing. I tell you the thing as well. You're probably the same. We very rarely watch our own content, and very look. Don't like look forward to our own content. I'm saying that because fucking.
Because I like people.
No, but because you're here and you've seen most of it. Like, since I edited that for the past fucking
6 months.
Yeah, whatever else, and got Archie and buzzing to watch that. So to be able to watch it yesterday, I think was amazing. Like, it's out on the website now, but also the additional things as well, like the Kevin Ball interview. Like, I wouldn't have thought Kevin Ball would be an interesting interview, but it will be, because I've watched the first episode and go, actually, what else has he got to go and say? And all the other people that are interviewed in it, to be able to go and watch their full interviews as well.
It was, fucking boss, it, like. I just thought, like, there's this, I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but Henderson's dad, Brian, is in the show. And he's not just in the show, he's the star of the show. Like, and it was just so heartwarming listening to him talk about his son. And it proper brought like emotions bubbling up and all that type of stuff. I can't recommend it enough. It really is fantastic. If you want the bonus features and stuff, when you want episodes 2 and 3, you're going to have to sign up to the website. That'll be out next Monday, episode 2 anyway. For Club Legends and next Wednesday for all the other subscribers to the website and stuff. But I just want to say, like, the exclusive content that we've got dropping around this, there was an 18-19 minute interview with Jurgen Klopp that we dropped yesterday.
Yep.
There's the Kevin Ball interview as well, yep. Bolo's ending interview. And there's just so many people. I mean, Steven Gerrard,
Trent
Alexander-Arnold,
Mal Reddy, James Pearce, Jamie Carragher, Kenny Dalglish.
Southgate. I mean, it's just ridiculous, like the amounts of people that we've been able to speak to. I'm telling you, right, and I don't very often blow like our own horn, but it's the best fan-made media that's ever been made. And I genuinely believe that. Like, I genuinely believe it's a game changer for fan media. And drop the fan media, drop. It's just media, it's just content, and it's absolutely superb.
The feedback's been fucking amazing. Honestly, from like the Discord group that we got with the Club Legends, like all of them last night were like just clamoring for it. Last yesterday, when's it dropping? And even like this morning, waking up and seeing messages, even on Twitter, people are watching it, it's going, oh my God, it's fucking amazing. It's fucking worth it.
It's brilliant, yeah. Isn't it? Scott Hawks has just sent a super chat in. Scott, hope you're feeling all right, mate. Thinking about you last night, of course. $25. It's fucking awesome. That's all that needs to be said about that. So we're going to talk a little bit about the centre-backs then. Obviously, not really sat down and spoken to anybody. I'll come to you first on this, Sam. After we've signed Konate. How are you feeling after that? It's a big move early on. In fact, before the transfer window even opens.
Yeah, we were talking about it a few weeks ago, about if we get top four, if we don't, would it be Konate, would it be Kabak, would it be both, would it be neither? And obviously we did our job eventually and finished there, which was great. And then, yeah, for me, it's a fantastic sign. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend to have seen loads and loads of him. I've seen enough of him to think he's a prospect, at least. And looking at his stats, I think Red Bull were... Oh, no, they're not called Red Bull anymore, are they? Whatever they're called, RBL, they didn't lose the last 28 games that he played in, which is amazing, really, as a stat. He's obviously a solid player. Towards the end, he drifted out because he was on the move, a bit like Sancho with Dortmund, I think, as well. I just think it's a cracking signing, and yeah, I think it adds nicely to what we've got now moving into next season.
Mate, he's 6'4".
It's a fucking unit, isn't
it? Tons of fun.
Yeah.
old school, mate.
Yeah, he's absolute unit. I was like saying with Sam, like I think it's just quite nice, isn't it? Because the season ended so well, like Sam said about finishing third and everything else happened. It was a nice time, and then your mind immediately switches to transfers, and then we're going to do a bit more on the Reds transfers roundup this afternoon. Of going, okay, we've got problems, sort them. It just makes you feel like a lot better about next season already. Of going, okay, where's one problem solved? Let's get moving. And to know, like, they always do this, but to know the club are doing stuff behind the scenes. I think Sam said there's loads of question marks with you know, do we keep Kabak? Is Phillips going to stay? What happens with Williams? You know, there's rumours or, you know, mouthpieces going out that we're content with them. It just makes you feel better, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, mate. Errol, Ross just mentions it there. Like, what are you doing with the centre-halves? Because we've probably got too many, or have we?
In terms of, like, before the end of the transfer window or going into next season? Going into next season. I think the new lad, he's there to kind of get better. And I think he's going to get through in the deep end. I think he's going to be the lad that's going to be the linchpin next to Van Dijk when Van Dijk's fit. It depends who kind of comes back fit and firing in terms of the injured trio, Matip, Gomez and Van Dijk, who really gets the start. But I wouldn't be surprised if... I don't think, you know, no disrespect to him. I love Nat Phillips. I think he, you know, what he's done for us over the last couple of weeks has been immense in terms of how he finished the season for us. But in terms of that value in his stock, it's probably never going to be higher. And in terms of that pecking order of where he fits in the squad, last year he finished as a starter for a reason. Next season, he's probably going to go in at like number 4 or 5. I don't think he wants to stick around for that, and I don't blame the lad. I think he's proved, you know, he could be a premiership player in that respect. So if we was to sell anyone, I think it's going to be him. I think Klopp's already kind of hinted that Matip's still in his plans for whatever reason. I would have personally went the other way. I'd have let Matip go and I'd have kept Phillips, just because I think sometimes, you know, we always talk about strikers and needing that plan B striker. I think sometimes defensively having that plan B defender that can just do the defending good stuff and he's always reliable. I think we found that in Phillips this season. But I think it's going to be probably Van Dijk and Konate starting for us next season with a bit of luck, but, you know, hopefully if they come back fit.
What do you make of that, Sam? Go on.
Yeah, I think... I agree with Errol, all things being equal, 100%. I personally wouldn't sell him anyway, because I think we need to be selfish now and go into next season with 5. We just have to, after what's happened this season. You've got to almost double back up in case. But I think there's a bit more complex than that, because Phillips himself might be looking at this now in the same way you are, but the reality of it is 3 of our centre-halves going into next season are coming off season-ending injuries. So we might start the season with Konate next to Phillips and ease the other guys back in. Van Dijk might play 1 week and miss a midweek because he can't play two games in a week. Gomez might or might not be ready. Matip's definitely not going to play two games a week anyway. So actually, Nat Phillips may get his chance still and probably will get his chance still to make his mark alongside one of those players early on in the season. And if he does really well again, then he pushes himself towards the front of the queue. You know, one thing we might use is Gomez as more of a right-back to ease him back into fitness. There's loads of different dynamics here we might use, and I think Phillips is still going to get his chance next season.
It also depends on what Phillips wants, because that's all well and good, but if he goes, well, I've just played, you know, what, 15, 20 games, I've been decent, people are after me, I can get first-team football somewhere, probably in a Premier League team. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm off, because he might see Matic coming back out of the treatment room and Van Dijk coming back and Gomez, and I agree, you know, they might not play lots, but get happy through the season, and then suddenly he's, what, fourth, fifth choice. Is that good enough for him? And fair play to him if he wants to go and do that. I'd be selfish, like Sam says. If anything that last season's taught us, it's fucking keep bodies, which, you know, is a financial strain on having five centre-backs, but I don't want to go through that season again. Yeah.
It's not that much of a financial strain to keep Nat Phillips around, though, is it?
No.
That's the big thing. And you know, Reece Williams, it's probably, I'd hazard a guess, loan deal. You're right there. I think that it's now the time for him to go and make sure that he develops as a player somewhere else physically and obviously tactically play somewhere else. Ben Davies, I mean, Celtic, probably. Yeah. I can't imagine that he's going to stay around. Celtic wanted him last time. The rumours are that they might come back in for him. We may even get our money for him, which would be insane. But he's a well-rested player. I know that much for sure. but I think I fancy that it's going to end up being same as Errol, to be honest. I think it's going to be Van Dijk and Konate starting the season. I've got a feeling that Joe Gomez isn't going to come back at the very start of the season. It's going to be a little while with him.
And then, November. Yeah, Phillips,
I reckon
it'll probably be around November times. Just in terms of, he might be physically fit, but I don't think he'll be match fit and match ready until around November. That's just
if
me.
If you can put yourself in a position where you're not rushing him because you fucking need him, which I think is why you say keep five. Well, Joe Gomez isn't quite ready. It's better than going, well, we sold Nat Phillips, so you're going to have to play this week, which might hinder your injury a bit more. Be safe.
Matip, I'm keeping round, though. I am keeping Matip Brown because he's too good when he's on the field. Yeah. Like, I know he's only going to play 20 games a season. I'd maybe peace with that.
Half of that. I think he played about nine or 12 last season.
He only played last season. Fucking good nine games, to be fair. Fucking good. That's the problem. I think he's our best. I think he's our second best centre half when he's fit. It's just that he's not fit long enough, is he? That's the main issue with him. Everyone knows that. I liked what Sam was saying there about easing Joe Gomez back in at right back, because we'd forgotten that was a thing. And it's like Nico Williams could go and have a great Euros, and he could come back a better player than he left. Like, there's an option there, but. You almost forget that Gomez was easing in and out with Semp for the best part of two seasons, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny, I had it on the agenda for this afternoon, the right-back position where Liverpool kind of need to improve in another position, because everyone's talking about forwards and wingers and stuff, and it's like, I'm not sure, I think we need a bit of right-back, especially now Trent's injured. And again, you know, I'm supposed he's supposed to be all right for pre-season, start of the season, but it makes me worry. You know, centre-back sorted, let us go, my natural progression to go, what about this position, what about that? What if Trent does get injured for a long period? Is Nico ready? You know, you're going to throw him in a deep end, whereas you can have options and Klopp likes versatility in players to have that.
Do you think we're asking Do you think we're asking too much of Gomez to come back and do that right-back job as well? And when he's probably thinking about just getting back on the pitch and trying to be a centre-back where his head's been at for the last 12 to 18 months, and then all of a sudden you're reintroducing him to a position he's kind of long forgot. I don't know.
Yeah,
is it a gamble?
It's the meritocracy, isn't it? I mean, if Konate comes in and starts well and he's fit alongside a Virgil van Dijk or something, you get in the side, however you get in the side. He's been used to that competition for places because he's had it with Matip for the best part of 2 years. He knows if he gets in there, he's going to take his opportunity. So.
And if you're Jurgen Klopp and Pep Linders, you're listening, mate. Jordan Henderson, Fabinho just played fucking centre-half. And from what Klopp said in that, you know, bad interview, they hate it. But they have to do it because you're doing it for the team. James Milner comes in, thinks he's getting a game, plays a few in midfield, and the next minute he's playing left back for 20 minutes. Thinking, fucking hell, just bought all these players. Like, I should be set. Just bought a left back, backup left back, and he still plays there because you're there for the team.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, let's move it on then. Let's talk about the midfield a little bit, lads. Yeah, I'll start with you, Ross. I mean, obviously, Gini Wijnaldum goes to PSG. That was a bit of a mad one, wasn't it? Like, everyone just thought he was going to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Are you happy for him?
Yeah, I am. I was actually sad for him because we still don't know what happened, but by all intents and purposes, he wanted to stay. Jurgen Klopp wanted him to stay. And he was quite sad that he's gone. And then there was the bit where he played Robbo. Did you see that in the Netherlands game, the friendly?
I want to hug you.
He went to go and exchange fucking flags. He went, I just want to hug you. I was like, oh, mate, but I can't. I was like, oh, I'm so sad for you. Fair play to him. Like, what he fucking does with his career now is his fucking business. I've seen loads of people like slating him for like he was just after money and all that. But someone throws 200 grand at you in a week, I'm not saying no. Do you know what I mean? I'm taking that. So I think there's a bit of competition in that midfield for him to play. But if he's happy and his family's happy, then fair fucks to him. Go and do what you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's his last big payday, isn't it? He's got his family and their futures to think about. And to be quite honest with you, he's probably been underpaid for the last 4 or 5 years, but he's had his fair share of trophies and win bonuses, I'm damn sure of that. Like, but why wouldn't you? You know, I think he's, to be fair to him, people can say, oh, it's for the money and all that. PSG are a better side now than Barcelona.
Yeah.
And they've got a better chance of winning trophies. So, is it just the money, or has he actually looked at it and gone, I've got a better chance of winning trophies here?
I reckon it was Ron the Red, put him off.
Ron the Red, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, he's still got Pochettino there. It's a system that Wijnaldum knows will suit him. I'd guess Pochettino's going to stay around, but I think he'll thrive in that midfield, to be honest with you.
No, I agree with you, mate. And to be fair, I seen the pictures of him in that PSG kit yesterday. He looks fantastic. He looks like he does. He looks sick. Like, I didn't think he'd look great in blue, but he absolutely looks sick in that kit, man. I swear. He looked like a little model, but bless him. I think he deserves it at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? He's been a great servant to us. I think in terms of the club, where his loyalties will always lie, I think he's always going to have that special pace in his heart for Liverpool. But in terms of that big last big contract, you can't knock him for wanting that money. And as you said there, Chris, I think that was a great point, the fact that he probably has been underpaid to an extent. And I think that was because of his journey to Liverpool. I think with Newcastle going down and being relegated and where we was at when we got him, he was never really a marquee player. Whereas if you wanted to go out of your way and buy a Gini Wijnaldum now with, you know, all of his accolades and what he's done, you would be paying a big signing fee for him as well as paying a big wage packet. So I think he fully deserves it. You know, I'm gutted that he's not going to be in our midfield next season, but that's an opportunity for Liverpool now, I think. And I think that's what is the exciting prospect for us. It leaves us with a big opportunity because we know all of the attributes that he had and all the boxes that he ticked. Where else in world football now can we go and get a player similar to kind of resemble that level of performance and dynamic? I think it leaves Klopp with a problem to solve, but in the past he solved problems like that before and he's come out top trumps. So I think it's exciting for us, but I think it's an exciting chapter for him as well. He gets to play with Neymar and Mbappe, do you know what I mean? And if he gets to play that little bit more of a Holland role, I think he could thrive in that midfield.
And obviously he gets to maybe talk to Mbappe about how good Liverpool is, Sammy. Yeah.
Does, mate, he does. And you know, he needs to get to work while this summer's on because, you know, he's being held prisoner, free Mbappe, 21, people. But you know what, like, one thing Liverpool have done for too long, right, is pay, and some of the lads are saying this, like our friends, and even in our groups when we're talking about wages and that, is Liverpool Football Club have paid players now for what they've done before. And Gini's agent should have renegotiated the contract in 2019, by the way, 100%. He should have been linking him to every club under the sun because he's on 75 grand a week. And he should have got him a new contract when he was 28, 29 after the 2019 season, not now or a year ago when we knew where he was with his stats. He should have done it then. So that kind of, in my opinion, the fault kind of lies there because I think as a football club, we've got to be looking forward. And I love Gini. He's an absolute Liverpool legend for what he's done. But I think that personally, I think it's the right time for him to further his career elsewhere in the Premier League and Liverpool to find a different solution. But I've got a completely different take on this to everyone else, right? Okay, let me ask you this question to Chris and to Ross and to Errol. One answer, yes or no each. Did Liverpool need a new centre midfielder last summer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't think we did, personally. Jones replaced Lallana's minutes and we had loads of midfielders. I don't think we needed a new midfielder last summer. Right, but we signed Thiago, and I think a lot of people were saying, oh, do we have Gini or do we have Thiago? And it was like, well, why don't we get Thiago and let Gini run his contract down? That was the narrative last season. Keep him for that extra year. In my opinion, if we'd have signed Konate last summer because we needed a defender, and someone else, or Ben White, as we've been told, and this summer we signed Thiago Alcantara to replace Gini Wijnaldum, did our fans of Mickey Edwards, shouting and building a statue again. So the way the club have done things is maybe the wrong way round the way it's worked out. But we signed.
That's after the injuries, though, isn't it, Sam?
It is. But, you know, we can't predict. That's everybody just assuming Keita and Ox are going to be injured next season. Like, if they're one player between them, I don't think we need another midfielder. But if we sell one of them.
Can I rephrase your question, Sam?
Yeah.
Did Liverpool need a midfielder last year more than they needed a centre half? And my answer would be they did not need a midfielder more than they needed a centre half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think okay. I get where you're going, because I think we did need a centre half last year much more than we needed an extra midfielder. I think you're onto something there, because I've always thought that signing Thiago was opportunistic mm-hmm. and probably not in the plan. Like, it was like, what, you're kidding me? Just that much money for him? Okay, that moves us on. We'll take a risk and not sign the centre half. Now, that risk didn't pay off. Yeah. I think if you go back, and I think this backs your point up as well, Sam, if you go back to when we won the league, Keita, that last sort of spell, was probably our best midfielder. Mm-hmm. And you're probably thinking heading into the season, if he can keep that up, we probably definitely don't need a midfielder. It's just whether I had concerns over his injuries and Ox, which is probably why I answered the question slightly differently.
Yeah. So
do you think desperation for midfielder might go up as well, though? If people know, like, Genie's gone, whatever. Like, you're saying Thiago's reactionary, and I get that, reacting to the market, sorry. But then if you go, well, actually, we got a centre-back's hard not to buy, the premium might have been up. We can never foresee getting your top three centre-backs getting injured for that long.
Yeah, but you can foresee two of them, because they're always injured, getting injured.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Can't you? Yeah, like, Gomez and the Matip thing, you absolutely can. I think that's the problem. Yeah. No one foresaw Van Dijk.
No.
But okay, well, when Gomez and Matip are gone and there's no Lovren, it was always going to be Reece Williams or Nat Phillips playing footy this year.
It would have been Fabinho next to him. It would have just been Fab next to Van Dijk. And I don't think we would have fell away the way we did in the new year if that would have been the combination. I think Fabinho would have been a capable centre-half with Van Dijk next to him. Van Dijk could have Bobby Firmino next to him and we'd win five games out of five, do you know what I mean? Like, he just brings that level to other players. And I think Klopp would have had that as his contingency plan because of the midfield numbers, in terms of we can still play Henderson in the six, we can still play Genie next to him, and we can actually get Thiago in there as well. That midfield will still have the intensity, it'll have the composure on the ball, and it'll have the eye for the pass that we need moving us further up the pitch. And I don't think that would have been that much of a concern. I think the concern came when he started dropping like fucking flies, and the next minute we turn around and we look at the medical bench and they're all on it, and you've got kids coming out of the academy being like, go on, Pat, throw us a shirt, I'll jump on for 90. And that was the situation we was left in. And I think in terms of the midfield, you've got to look at, unfortunately, I don't think Ox has ever been in the same after that injury after Roma. And again, that's my only concern with some of our centre-backs now, those big injuries that they've had. I love the level that Ox was performing at before then, but he's never been able to reach those heights again. Is Joe Gomez the next person that could fall short of our expectations? Will Virgil van Dijk come back and be the man mountain that he was before his injury? These are big question marks over these players now. Midfield-wise, we can't have these gambles anymore. We need dead certs. So for me, Naby Keita's injury record is his track record. That's what he's proven to Liverpool fans since he's been here. He's proven he's quality on his day and he has the ability. But in terms of dependability and when we need him for consistency, he isn't readily available for us. Oxlade-Chamberlain, great on his day. He has ability. He can actually shoot from outside the box and he's got a great shot on him. But will he get 5 to 10 games in this current squad? Probably not, because his performances aren't going to be of that level. What do we do with those players? That's where my mind's at now, because it's stick or twist time for us. And it's either we're going to die in the bed that we've made with these players and have that loyalty to them, or we get ruthless and say, do you know what? There's a Yves Bissouma over the road there. We can get him from Brighton underneath Arsenal's nose. And there's a Tilly Gillemans. Tillemans. There's a Tillemans down the road.
You made some of the best points I'd ever heard on this show, on this channel, and then say Tilly Gillemans straight on the ground. It's all for nothing. We've forgotten everything you said.
I was so engrossed in this fucking little spiel then.
Search him on FIFA. You need to search him on FIFA. He's a baller.
He's too expensive, him, though, Errol. He's an 18 million yeah. pound player.
He's gone for Youri Tielemans' younger brother there, I think, isn't he?
His cousin, like George Weir's cousin, who signed for Southampton.
Free Tilly Gillimans! Free Tilly Gillimans!
Get a rumour going.
Fucking hell, lad.
Get a rumour going.
Mate, there was some genuinely, there was some fucking brilliant points there, wasn't there, Sam? I think,
yeah.
You know, the Ox and the Cater stuff and everything around that. That's the big question mark for this squad, isn't it? Whether you can afford to buy Tilly Gillimans or not. I mean, the Ox and Cater question needs answering. Personally, I tell you what, you go first. What would you do with them two?
I like Ox. I think
Tilly fucking Gillimans.
I like it. I like Olex Axelay Chamberlain. No, I like Ox because I think, yeah, he was unlucky last summer getting that random injury where he was out for like 3 months and then he's talking about. But his goal against Burnley is exactly what he's about. He can come on and just bang one. And I think what you've got to look at with Cater and Oxley Chamberlain is if Cater's going to play the Matic role, if we can't sell him because no one's going to buy him, which is could be the case. If he's going to play the Matic role, which is we know we're never going to get 15, 20 games out here, but as 6/7 midfielder, you're good enough to come in the cup games and you're good enough for us to just keep you on your own little training scheme to play every now and then and just maintain levels. I'm fine with that. I think what everybody looks at with Liverpool is the Man City model, where there's every single person in the squad is just as important as each other. We don't play that way. We have a core 14, 15 players and other players who hopefully can just maintain the level when they come in. And in midfield, we've got Henderson, Thiago and Fabinho. I think at the moment, would we all agree, undisputed starting players. Yeah. Jones is getting better and better every season. And then you've got Jimmy Milner, who's just Mr. Reliable. So can you fill the other space with Ox and Keita and just say, you know what, boys, you play your position.
It's an interesting one. I think you'd have to get rid of one of them personally. I don't think we can have two players, Ross, that you can't rely on. Now, who that is, I think Cater's brilliant on his day, but his day's not often enough. Yeah. Oxlade-Chamberlain's been around the squad for the back end of the last season and he didn't really get many minutes, which is a little bit of a concern. But we knew we couldn't afford to slip up in any way, shape or form. So trying to play someone into fitness when you're in that win mode, that's really difficult. You're not going to get 50 million for Naby Keita, but you might get 30. So I'd personally maybe get rid of Naby Keita at this point.
I think 30 million might be a push as well. But his record, it's a hard sell, isn't it? Do you want this fella? Yeah, he's hardly played for 3 years, sound. Yeah, well, let's buy him.
He's going to go off to the AFCON in January as well anyway. That's a guarantee. Yeah. So you're always going to lose him for
nicer
that month.
He's tempted to keep both of them. But it depends what you can afford to do. Like, you know, they said there's going to be some player sales like Origi, Wilson, Gruitch, some others that, you know, that are going to go out. But I think you need another position. Again, bringing it back to the centre-half last season. I don't want to be in the same position of going, Nat Phillips, can you play midfield this week? Because Ox and Keita are injured. Fabinho needs a rest and Henderson's injured again. You know, you're short on numbers in there. You can't rely on. We shouldn't have to rely on a 36-year-old James Milner to play games for us. Mm. Curtis Jones, I think, will play a more integral role this season, but I don't think he's the answer because I think he's, just turned 20. Again, it shouldn't be on him to do that. I think he's a great player. But again, we're in the Premier League. I don't want to get into a position where we're playing these people. I think we have depth. Have a look towards your bench. How many times look at the bench last season? Go, well, actually, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 options there. We can do different stuff. There's what you have one or two players and go, well, Shaqiri might come on this game or whatever else. We're playing in Champions League football. We're playing in those cup games. Get depth behind the squad and say, listen, you know, one person's injured. It's you know, it's wipe the blood off your nose. We're going again. Not like you're missing six fucking limbs.
Yeah. No, an interesting question for me, and I agree with everything you said there, Ross, but I'm going to throw this back over to Errol now. Like, at some point, you'd have to move the midfield on. And I think, you know, Fabinho's a mainstay for the next 6-7 years, probably, if he can continue at the level that he's played at. Henderson's 31 years old. Now, I know he's the captain of this football club, but let's not gloss over the fact that his injury record, he misses games as well. Yeah. Like, he's not going to start every game next season. He's just, he hasn't done that for us. So I don't think he's going to start at age 31. Kurt Jones, I think, probably got more minutes than he should have done last season. But I think I expect him to get the same minutes this season as he got last season.
Yeah, he set the bar now.
Continue that a little bit. When you think about Youri Tielemans, 24 years old, performing at Leicester this season, there's a player that, I said it right as well, and you were just laughing because I said it wrong ages ago.
Someone's just changed the name in the YouTube comments to Tilly Gillimans. Amazing.
But this is the thing, like, you've got to start planning for the future at some point. Now, I think Kurt Jones is going to be in that future. I really do. But, like, Thiago and Hendo, they're going to be there next season. They're probably going to be there the season after. But you need to get the next lad in, I think, and you need to sort of force them a little bit. Would you actually buy Tielemans, and do you think Liverpool will?
I would. It's either Bissouma or Tielemans, do you know what I mean? It's one or the other. And I think... I think money-wise, I think we could get Bissouma for a lot cheaper, and I think he does more of what Gini does. I think the other lad from Leicester, I think he has the potential to be a completely different element
the lad
to
from
our
Leicester.
Squad.
Way around it, mate.
No, but he has the potential to be something that we haven't got in that midfield, and that could be part of the next reiteration of this current midfield engine room for us. Do you know what I mean? I think we've had that high intensity press to death kind of style. We've got that kind of win loads of possession and kind of tick the ball over. We kind of got that now with Thiago and Fabinho in that midfield. So I think that next stage is having someone. I think the ideal for me is probably having the Naby and the Ox attributes merged into one player minus the injuries. If we can find that guy who's got that composure on the ball, can drop a shoulder and can drive with the ball and have a shot on them, you probably are looking at Tielemans. That probably is your guy at the minute, let's be
problem,
honest.
Yeah. The problem you've got there with that is if you combine the two of them together, they'd never be fit. That's the issue, isn't it? Because they're both out for half a season, guaranteed each.
That's a good point. Like, it's all right talking about the ability of these players and, you know, on what they can produce. But, like, I know those people have an issue with this. It's availability is the big one. I was looking now, G. Ronaldo played 51 games last season. Are you getting 51 games out of Oxlade-Chamberlain, Naby Keita?
No.
Nope.
You're not?
Nope.
You know, you need someone who's going to be there week in, week out. And I know, I don't think his form was great for the past month, 2 months of the season in Gini. And I think a lot of people had an issue with that. Maybe his man was somewhere else. Or I think he was just knackered, to be fair, after playing 3,922 minutes. But that's what I want. I'm going to be able to look to someone and someone be there, be like, you know, a mainstay in that midfield. And, you know, when Jordan Henderson does get injured, well, you get in the same situation of, is Ox fit this week? Probably not. Is Keita fit? Well, okay, we're going to play Curtis Jones or James Milner. I don't think that's enough to push for trophies.
No, and certainly the league's where we're at, isn't it? So, Sam, what would you do? Would you keep both Ox and Keita? Is that what you're sticking with?
No, I think Liverpool might do that just because I try and not to get caught up in the world of, oh, if and who, even though I'm all on board the Mbappe train, by the way. But apart from that, I'm usually quite sensible with transfers. So I think Liverpool may well, unless someone comes in, because things change, like it did for us with Thiago. But I think there's a couple of other players there that Liverpool might be looking to moving forward. Jude Bellingham, you know, if we're going to buy someone, go and buy an 18-year-old next season for, you know, your 60, 70 million quid, who's going to be an absolute gem. You know, talk about Tielemans now. He might get sold for 90 million this summer to United or someone, because that's the kind of deal that'll do. I like Bissouma. If we could sell Keita for 20 million, I'd buy Bissouma.
Yeah, I must admit, I like Bissouma as well. Like, I think Tielemans a better player, but the cost's going to be much higher, isn't it? Obviously, we've been linked with Roberto Gagliardini from Inter Milan as well. In fact, we've been linked to quite a few Inter Milan players. I think there's about three, isn't there? But we're not going to wait.
They've got a fire sale on at the minute, though, haven't they?
Well, that's it. They need the money, don't they? Which is,
yeah.
You take so long to get back up to the top of the tree, as it were, in Serie A, and then you're having a mad fire sale. That league's just, it's really, really tough for them and stuff at the moment, isn't it? But I don't think that the midfield talk will stop until Liverpool either do or don't buy somebody this summer, because I think that we probably do need a body in there. And you know, I know James Pearce sort of said, like, you know, it might depend on what can come in and what can come out. Don't quote me on that one. Like,
I feel sorry for those journalists, because, like, how many times have they been briefed or something? Like, they get fed news from Liverpool, and, like, I think his words were, you know, looking Curtis Jones might be ready to kind of step up, but everyone lost their fucking heads. What the club saying, what the club do, are two completely different things. Absolutely. We've had, what was it, Danny Ward is going to be Liverpool's new number one. Yeah, great. I think most of us bought into that at the time as well. Actually, well, they're playing the game. So what James Pearce says, just wait to see what happens. The window's not even open yet as well.
Yeah, no, it's only a few days. But first, before that, we've got the Euros. Of course, we do, as mentioned, have the Hendo 10 Years a Red documentary series going out over the next few weeks on the RedmenTV.com. We showed you before a highlight from that. It is absolutely superb. So if you want to see it today, you need to sign up to the RedmenTV.com Club Legends here. Get involved, or you can wait till tomorrow to see it on YouTube. But we also, for Club Legends, are running a competition for some signed medals. So you've obviously got the Super Cup, the Premier League, the World Club Cup, and the Champions League medal there. It's a signed frame box of medals. So yeah, have a little look at this before we go. Is running now over on the website for our Club Legends subscribers. There's also a Discord group, free merchandise, discounts off merchandise and all kinds if you do join up on our Liverpool Football Club streaming service. I think Netflix for Liverpool fans. Documentary series, as I mentioned, is already out. Thank you to Sam, thank you to Errol, and thank you to Ross for this one. We'll see you all next time. Ta-ra.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.